Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Ficus Studios, it is Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here. Yeah, and just Smurf. With the crazy weather that has gone on over the last couple of weeks, the rest of the team is snowed in, lost, or just, well, not here. So, instead of letting you guys go wandering around aimlessly in the world of geek, I have decided to sit down and give you the news. This will be a little strange, and in fact, I'm feeling a bit, Good Morning Vietnam, as I'm sitting here talking to you, the listener. So, let's get to it. We are sponsored by HobbyDB, the collector's database. If you haven't checked them out, please do. Go over there and check them out. They have some incredible features for their database. Not only is it not limited to just comics, but has pop figures, Hot Wheels, action figures, anything that you can think of, it is in the database. Build your own, follow theirs, see what's hot, see what's out there. It's a cool way of just kind of, you know, feeling what's going on the market. So, what has gone on since we last spoke? Well, to start with, Lego Masters premiered last week, and this is a show that I definitely need to be on. It came on right after The Masked Singer, which, let's face it, much better than last season. I like that they're limiting the pocket of people. And holy crap, who they've already amassed as talent. I'm not going to do any spoilers, and I'd rather have the rest of the team here to talk about who they've unmasked and how this show is going. But it is tremendous. Much better than last year. And unfortunately, I have to agree with Red on this, that Alan Thicke needs to go, and they just need to add Jamie Foxx. I love that they added, right out of the gate, Jamie Foxx, because he's always been like the one everybody thinks that's under a mask. So to have him as a special guest host right out of the gate was brilliant. And now we don't have to think everyone is Jamie Foxx. But that said, Alan Thicke, I've been getting a little worn on. Anyway, Masked Singer is going on. Right after that is Lego Masters. Now, this show I need to be part of. They give you 15 hours to do a build. So this week, it was build your own theme park. So each person can come up with their theme, and it was stupendous. The group that I'm cheering for, of course, are the bearded guys. They came up with Logland or Lumberjack Land, and it was inspired. It even had a log ride. And I remember being a kid, always, that was like the one place you go. Get soaked, ride the log. It was probably one of the rides that I always look forward to, even when we would go to Disneyland, because there was Splash Mountain. And it, again, based on a log, it was perfect. So the show, I'm curious to see how well it goes. And let's face it, Will Arnett, the voice of Batman from Lego Batman and the Lego movies, is the core of the show. The man is just, I'm surprised he hasn't done something like this sooner and hosting a show. And maybe, you know, this is just a perfect fit for him. But his humor and how he approaches the show is on par with everything else that is going on. So check it out. Second episode will be this week, and we'll see if they get anybody eliminated or what. They decided to keep all of the core. There's a couple of contestants, and I'm kind of like, eh. There's this one couple that, oh my god, if she does not kill this guy by the end of the competition, if they make it even past round two, I'll be surprised, because this guy was just a dick to her. I don't remember their names, unfortunately, but so worth checking out, because I honestly think she's going to take a table to him, and I hope she does. Moving along to other shows, this week we saw Lock and Key. Can't believe I almost forgot that. Because this show I have been promoting, been loving the comic for ages. Joe Hill, Stephen King's son, wrote this comic ages ago. And the whole idea of Key House and inside all of these different keys that open up tremendous possibilities. I'm not going to spoil anything for you, but when I'm comparing this to last week's October Faction that premiered on Netflix, I'm hard-pressed to decide which I'm enjoying more. Now, both have very horror-style elements, but I think when you're looking at it, I'm almost thinking Lock and Key pulled it off better. You've got October Faction, which we never really get a full explanation of what's going on as far as why October and all of that, and I'm sure that's coming in future episodes. And having read the comic, I, of course, can glean a little extra insight on where the story may or may not be going. With the adaptation from the comic, Lock and Key has surpassed my expectations. The challenge of Key House is, how do you pull off some of the effects for the keys? Some are easier than others. The head key, which probably by far is one of the most powerful keys in the set, has completely changed from the comic to the show. What really was interesting is how they interacted with this key and the difference from person to person who uses it. I think it is a stroke of genius, and it pulls from a lot of other elements. And when I was sitting there, I kept thinking of that Disney film Inside with the different voices and the colors and all of that. So to see how they pulled this off visually is fantastic. And of course, Well Lady, Gabe is, or Dodge, excuse me, Dodge is all that and more. In fact, even creepier than the comic. So, that said, where does it go? We've only got one season so far, 10 episodes. Same thing for October Faction. I would be really surprised if we don't see a second season for either one of these shows. As we get into the weeks a little bit more and everyone has a chance to watch this, I want to do a huge comparison. Because I honestly think when you're looking at the character development between the Locks and everyone in October Faction, I honestly think the characters in Lock and Key are a little bit better, a little more relatable. October Faction, as much as I love the humor and I love the family and the father is great, I still think, looking at it from a distance, and I'll rewatch it again, that October Faction is not up to par with Lock and Key. And maybe I'm wrong. Let me know. Also in Netflix news, Mandalorian has set a date for season 2. We won't get them until October. But that said, Sideshow has released the new child, quote-unquote, statue, which is just Baby Yoda. It's an amazing-looking statue, and Sideshow does such tremendous work when they're dealing with the Star Wars aspect, and I can't tell you how many different statues I have from them, but you need to go check this out. In fact, maybe I'll even connect a picture of the child, because it is adorable. It looks right out of the show. Of course, it's $300 worth of adorable, and for that money, it better walk, talk, and coo, in my opinion. I want it to sit there with a cup of tea and judge me. Or maybe that's just too much. Anyway, I will attach a picture, and for those avid Star Wars and statue fanatics, I'm sure you've already added it to your wish list. In movie news, moving along, we have Sam Raimi as a choice for Doctor Strange in directing. Now, this I'm not sure I'm too sold on, just from the standpoint of, I know Sam Raimi has done some amazing work with Evil Dead, and of course his trilogy of Spider-Man, but it's so hard to get that taste of Spider-Man 3 out of my mouth. Emo Spider-Man just did not need to exist. Topher Grace, horrible choice as Eddie Brock, and Venom just, It was just the weakest attempt. Now, Sandman, on the other hand, was a great character. The development was perfect, and I think that they should have just remained focused on him. Again, it suffers from, you know, the Batman Forever syndrome of how many villains can we shoehorn into a single film? That said, I'm hoping Sam has learned from his, you know, his past mistakes. And the Evil Dead franchise and Ash versus the Army of Dark, or versus the Army of Darkness, great series. But I'm curious if Raimi is up to the task. The precedent that's been set for the Marvel films, and especially when you're dealing with like the likes of Jon Favreau and everybody that, even Gunn and his work with Guardians of the Galaxy, it has a Marvel feel. And I know Raimi did it first with Spider-Man, but, you know, is it holding up? I don't think so. Especially when you're dealing with, you know, the other Spider-Man films that have followed. Definitely he gets the comedy aspect of it, but do we really want to see a funny Doctor Strange? Eh. The Madness of the Multiverse the Multiverse of Madness is the title of the new film that's coming up, and I really, to be honest, don't... Nothing against Sam Raimi, but I just don't think that this is going to be a good fit for him. Maybe I'm wrong, but rubs me the wrong way. Let me know what you think. Also, I'm curious, as I was cruising around, that musical theater has just come to the brink of the end, because now we get to look forward to Back to the Future musical. Of course, they released a trailer earlier in the week that brought Christopher Lloyd back to help promote Marty and Doc Brown's trip through time. And unfortunately, Christopher Lloyd will not be making an appearance on Broadway. The musical will be opening at the Manchester Opera House on February 20th, 2020, and it has a 12-week season. And I don't know, just to see Marty up there singing about going back in time, and there are some practical effects that I would love to see how they were going to do this, but it's just, I mean, didn't they learn anything from Spider-Man trying to become a musical production? I know that was all in, you know, the creator's head, but this is just a step above and beyond when it comes down to, oh, yeah, ouch. Also in movie news, Beast Wars is one of the two new Transformer movies that they are thinking about putting in development. Now, I'm probably the only one that really was done with the Michael Bay Transformers. And of course I say that jokingly, because let's face it, Bumblebee Phase saved that franchise. The only reason any of us are even talking about Transformers is because what Bumblebee did, it pulled on the nostalgia and the heartstrings of all of us, because it was like an episode right out of the cartoon. All of the Decepticons in their Cybertron phases. We got to see some much wanted and desired fan favorite characters. Soundwave, just it was a visual smorgasbord of Transformers. That said, I think what they should do is just continue to focus on that aspect. Bumblebee is the perfect wagon to hitch their star to get more Transformers out there. And if they keep in the vein of what the fans like and want to see, this is a hit, no matter how you look at it. Now, maybe it's just my age or me not paying attention closely to the trends, but Beast Wars just seems kind of a lame idea. So far, the hits when it comes to animals in movies hasn't been that great. And I could be wrong when you're looking at the likes of Jungle Book or, you know, Lion King, which, Lion King hitting this week on Disney Plus was, now I see why no one cared about that film, because it was horrific. It's worse than Aladdin. Yeah, I'm going to go with that. That's my stamp of approval right there. But Beast Wars just, I don't know. Maybe it's just because it came so late in the franchise. I don't know. But, I never really got into the toys. I didn't care too much for the characters. And it was an entirely different story that, as much as I know they want to expand the lore of Cybertron, as much as I want to see more Transformers, I think that they could stay within the Bumblebee canon and add a lot of Transformers that everybody wants to see. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm going to say probably not. But look at the trends so far. I mean, Paramount is probably just freaking out because the money that they have thrown at the majority of the Transformers films has not returned the way they want. And everyone thought that Bumblebee 2 was in development, and it doesn't seem like that's the case. So Paramount needs to kind of figure out what they've got going on before I think they start chasing down different Transformers. But, you know, that's just my opinion. Also in Disney Plus, speaking of which, the trailer for Wanda and Vision, WandaVision, and Winter Soldier and Falcon have landed. It was a very interesting Super Bowl, to say the least, because, again, chasing, you know, a different type of nerd with Disney Plus just kind of cracks me up. We are going to see WandaVision first, and it looks like they are pulling directly from the comic in the different aspects of the characters, the story, and the overall look. To see Olsen in the classic Scarlet Witch uniform did kind of crack me up. Everyone was kind of looking at me like, what was that? Not knowing who they were looking at, and it was a bit of a eye-opening. And yeah, some things just do not translate, let's face it. But to see it on the screen might be actually kind of fun. I think I'm going to have more faith in the Winter Soldier and Falcon storyline rather than WandaVision. It looks a little bit too tongue-in-cheek for my tastes, but I could be wrong. It's really hard to tell when you're looking at just the trailer. I like the take. I think it needs to happen. On the other hand, it just may not be for me, and I think the spy stuff with Winter Soldier and Falcon is going to be much more to my liking. Also, Netflix news, Castlevania Season 3 has a release date set for March 3rd. Now, Castlevania's second season, I still haven't even finished. I have completely lost interest in this. And as much as I want to, it was just so much of a rehash of what we already saw. There was no new story, and I you know, didn't even finish the last couple of episodes, which is saying a lot for, you know, a season of 5 episodes. I like the Castlevania, and I'm hoping, according to the poster that they have released, looks like they're going to have more elements of the video game and actually finally expand on the characters and the story and Dracula and the whole Castlevania thing. Because let's face it, this video game was a hit. I played the hell out of this game back in the day. And even the follow-ups. The boomerang for Belmont was awesome in the video game. So I'm hoping to see some of the elements from the games pulled more into the show. Because they've got a good foundation. They've got some incredible characters. If only they would focus correctly. If you are down with Castlevania, please let me know, but I'm thinking I might just kind of let this one go to the wayside. And as much as I hate to say that, that's kind of where I'm sitting on that. What else is going on in the world of geek this week? I lost my book. The community calendar for this week, it looks like actually Saturday night is going to be the 80s and 90s dance over at Wings Over the Rockies, which is always a good time. It's a awesome little theme thing. Tickets are $35, and it includes food, dance. There is a bar there that is not covered by the price of admission. And it's like a nice little sample of different restaurants and people in the community showing off their skills in the culinary arts. Not to mention the dance, which is completely focused on 80s and 90s music. And it's a fun little time. I've gone the last couple of years, but probably won't be going this year just because of other obligations and stuff that's going on. Denver Pop Culture Comic Con has announced some amazing new comic book themed guests. Go over, check out DPCC, Denver Pop Culture Comic Con, or Denver Pop Culture Con, and check out some of the new comic book guests. Alan Bellman, who is huge for Captain America, is returning to Denver. And there's a couple of other guests that just landed today that you need to check out. And it looks like it could be a nice comic-focused con again if this trend continues. So, fingers crossed, everything looking good for that. And in comic book news, not much else going on there. New issues coming out. They are going to be doing a midnight release, of course, for the new Wolverine series that will be coming out. And there's also Strange School, which is a comic book of, just as it sounds, Doctor Strange takes in students to teach them the ways of magic. And it kind of looks like a weird little X-Men-inspired Hogwarts story, and this is the first time Doctor Strange has ever started his own school, so it looks like it might be kind of a fun read. And there are a bunch of different variant covers out there by local artist J. Scott Campbell to complement that. So check out his webpage to see what's available for it. And that's about it. I'd like to report on video games right now, but unfortunately, I've just not felt the urge for video games. I don't know if it's just my mood. I know over on the Grand Theft Auto that there's a great promotion right now. You can get $2 million, and I just haven't felt the urge to play. Of course, you only can get $1 million now for the next couple of days. The first million has already expired as far as the time allotment. Now you're focused on just $1 million, which can go a long way. You can at least buy a boat. Or, you know, something. Bulletproof car. It's a nice start if you haven't started. Of course, I think at this point, I don't know who hasn't started playing Grand Theft Auto. If it, my opinion, I'm probably just going to lop on over to Dead Red 2 and just stay there for a while. Because it's a nice, happy little spot. Other than that, not a whole lot going on for games. Waiting to see what's coming for E3. In addition to, I think that's about it. So, just me, all alone. Hopefully I didn't bore you. But wanted to make sure that you at least got up to date on some of the new things going on, my take on it. And yeah, we will return with the regular staff, barring any other future weather calamities and other destructive tendencies here in Colorado. But in the meantime, love frogs, love the world. Drink well. For tomorrow, who knows? Because in the end, we're all stories. So make it a good one.